You're listening to the Transport for the North podcast.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Transport for the North podcast. My name is James Barber, I'm TFN's Public Affairs and Engagement Officer, and I'm delighted today to be joined by Matt Smallwood, who is our lead for Connected Mobility Strategy. So thank you very much for joining me today, Matt. Connected Mobility, it's a topic that we've looked into a lot over the past few years, but Matt, if you could just give us sort of a quick definition of what Connected Mobility is, and then sort of a bit of a run through of where we've been in the past previously in the run up to the current strategy.
Yeah, of course. I think Connected Mobility has come from a point of view where across the north of England, there's an expectation across authorities and passengers for their transport networks to be better integrated to connect the systems that they use to plan and pay for journeys to the places that matter to a passenger. So that's destinations for work, for leisure, for family relationships, and it's the systems that exist behind how you pay and plan for those journeys.
Brilliant. So you've just touched on the thought of what it is, and obviously as we're looking to build a more integrated transport network for the future, it's really important that we have this strategy. So in terms of, say, over the past few years, a lot of work's been going on across the north of England in this area, but we've not necessarily got to where we want to be. So how does the new strategy that we've come up with sort of help us to reach a more consensual view across the north?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, a good point. I mean, Transport for the North, we have to acknowledge that historically we have been involved in a big way in this area in the past, and it didn't quite work out to the extent that we would have liked it to have done. But I think it's worth recognising that over the past particular 4 to 5 years, technologies have changed significantly, and the approaches behind the scenes to getting these integrations working more effectively are quite a bit different and more mature than they were a few years ago. So the approach that we've taken with this new strategy is, rather than what we've approached in the past with a top-down rebuilding of a system, we're looking from the foundations that exist across the north already, and what can we do as a regional authority to scale those, progress those at a quicker pace, and stop effectively duplicating effort, reinventing the wheel on some of these things, and making it easier for a lot of our partners to keep together on that journey towards those more connected mobility systems, rather than where we were a few years ago, where we were trying to build effectively a new system from scratch. Technology has moved on away since then. Innovations happen outside of the public sector. And really what this strategy is starting to do is create the environment for that innovation to happen at pace, but not steamrolling over the existing successes that we've experienced across the north of England. And we've got a lot of authorities that have done really good work in this space. And really, it's our role to put a spotlight on that good work and make that good work even more powerful for the rest of the north that might be a little bit way behind.
So you've touched on, obviously, the work that local authorities are already doing. We can go to Greater Manchester and see a lot of different work around it that's existed for a few years now. And how are we as an organisation building on that, sort of, would you say? Because you talk about wanting to reinvent the wheel. What is it sort of that we are aiming to do as part of the strategy that would complement the existing work and build on it, really?
Yeah, I think it's really our role to highlight a lot of the successes and best practice emerging from those authorities that have done work in this space and importantly have invested public funds in developing those systems. Really, our core driver behind some of these things in partnership with authorities is reducing the ask on the taxpayer to duplicate some of the work already achieved and delivered across the north of England, and really looking for opportunities to scale, bring together joint procurement, joint delivery across partners where one of them might be a slightly bit ahead of another, so it can bring its neighbouring authorities. It's sort of levelling up with inside the levelling up agenda, really, for the north of England. So it's not about going to an authority that's done mature work in this space and saying, actually, that's wrong, we're going to do it this way. It's what have you learned from this that we can start packaging across the north of England, but then importantly, start tailoring that to the place-based contexts of different geographies. We've got large urban areas, we've got large rural areas, various different degrees of economic prosperity, connectivity systems. How do we start adapting some of that existing funded learning to apply it to a local level as well? And that's really where we fit into that piece. So we're not going to say those authorities have to do it a completely different way. In fact, it's going to be how can we share what they've achieved with other authorities in a structured, joined up way, and then make the case to government to invest across multiple authorities for those shared outcomes in the end of it.
And you've touched on as well, as part of what you've just said, the different sort of needs and capabilities of different authorities. For example, as I say, Greater Manchester has very different needs to, say, Cheshire East, its neighbouring authority. How do we bridge those gaps? Because ultimately we are trying to connect places to each other. How do we, say, get a connect mobility strategy that works for every area of the north, not just the, for example, urban areas where it might be a bit easier? What about the rural areas like Cheshire East or up in Cumbria? How do we sort of join up that thinking, and how has TFN existingly done that, joined it all up and added value to that conversation?
Yeah, I think that's a really valuable point. And the way that we structured the strategy around thematic outcomes is really designed to sort of address those variances that we've said effectively the end state of what good looks like in the north of England will be these outcomes. Those outcomes will be tailored at a local level. And really, from our point of view, it's how do we achieve those outcomes, particularly in the challenge of reduced capability and capacity on a local authority level. And one of the things we're really sort of cognizant of is that we've got different scale of authorities in the north of England that have the capacity to deliver some of these things either easily, not easily, or don't actually have the human resource or skill set internally to do so. And that's really where our strategy starts to come in, to infill some of those capacity gaps for those authorities. And particularly when it comes to technological solutions around digital transport, a lot of authorities might struggle to develop specifications or procurement or tenders for these systems, but potentially don't have the end result they actually want, whereas the ambition might be shared across different authorities. So what we can start to do is develop commonality in those approaches to tendering systems, create the environment where authorities can partner with innovators to deliver the same outcome for their region without having to be beholden to increased local resource challenges, capability challenges. And we do have to recognise that in transport generally, we do have a bit of a skills gap when it comes to digital systems. So really what we need to do is create an environment where we lever some of those tech innovators out there in partnership with that public policy piece locally. And that's sort of the niche and the conduit role that we have as a regional authority to start identifying where those gaps might be, where there's a risk of an authority struggling to keep up with their own ambitions. And there's a lot of really good ambitions. How do we do an intervention with that authority, sharing some of the best practice from elsewhere, but create an environment where they don't have to go through an expensive, lengthy procurement for a system that we know exists in another authority's area or another section of the industry? That's really sort of the niche area we're trying to get to with the strategy.
So you touched on in your answer then, Matt, about the thematic outcomes that we've put together as part of the strategy. Could you give us a quick run through of what they are, how they all factor in and work together?
Yes, of course. I think what's really key to the strategy is the fact that we have split out three holistically linked themes, but each of them are quite distinct in their own nature. So we've got obviously the big ticket item is the future of ticketing. So when people speak about integrated transport, often it's how people pay for and validate their journey. So that is understandably one of the large three themes of the strategy. And that's going to be looking at things around pay-as-you-go. How do we start to get pay-as-you-go that's been long sought for across the north of England in place sooner rather than later at minimal duplicated cost and effort? But it also starts looking at some of the niche things around what's the future role of barcode ticketing, which we've seen a level of growth on in the railway and emerging growth on the bus network side of things. What is the future around fares reform? It's in vogue at the moment. There's a complex argument around our fares reflective of what the current travel behaviour patterns are for passengers, particularly post-pandemic. How do we start to lever tools to allow authorities and partners to develop fare structures that work for them in a local context, but also align with emerging national programmes around pay-as-you-go, digital retail and fare reform programmes? Building on from that, there's the sort of enabling theme within the strategy, which is around data and infrastructure. So that's really focusing on the back office side of a lot of how connected mobility will work in the future. What's the approach to getting more standardized data across different modes? How do we work from a technical integrations piece between, say, heavy rail, light rail, local bus and emerging modes of transport to exist in the same digital platforms when historically those platforms have developed organically but often separately? And then what's the infrastructure physically required to deliver the benefits? Now, one of the things which actually is quite interesting, I think there's an article very recently from West Yorkshire around 4G connectivity for real-time tracking of vehicles. We need to start mapping what is the gap in our regional connectivity piece and what infrastructure is required to allow always connected transport systems. Because if you have, say, apps or web platforms that are looking to connect people and provide confidence, that will fall over if a mode of transport disappears because there's a network black spot. So we need to take a regional perspective on that infrastructure piece, both in terms of the connectivity side of it, but the physical infrastructure which exists on vehicles, on platforms, and in people's hands. And then there's the quite interesting forward-facing theme, which is looking at future mobility. And this is sort of how we start to explore niche and novel transport systems and how they start to integrate with the traditional network. So that's looking at the likes of micromobility, active travel, those sort of new and emerging trends in transport. How do we start to integrate those with your traditional fixed route networks? Is there opportunity to lever technology to integrate somebody who is an ardent active traveler to get off of a vehicle sooner, walk a little bit more, reward them for that to reduce the congestion on that vehicle for other passengers? What kind of opportunities exist in that future mobility space? And all of that together under those three themes is really around designing and operationalizing technology and systems for passenger benefit across holistic transport networks. So they are quite distinct themes. Each have got quite clear outcomes with them, but they are all joined together around really improving that seamless experience for passengers, for existing transport, emerging transport, and all the little behind the scenes technology that enables that.
We've heard a lot about what the strategy is, how it's worked in the past, and how we're moving to this point now where we're getting the connected mobility work at the forefront of a lot of the things we're doing. What next? What is the next step for Transport for the North and the connected mobility work? How are we going to continue working with partners, local authorities, etc., to add value and take the strategy forward?
Yeah, of course. I think immediately some of our pressing concerns are around addressing a little sets of gaps that exist across some of our areas in the north of England. So some of our focus, it's not the sort of hugely exciting big ticket procurement pieces that might exist in this space. It's some of the ground level foundational work that needs to be undertaken around getting governance structures locally set up, particularly around multimodal ticketing, where if, for example, we have multiple authorities developing multi-operator schemes in an independent level, that's quite a complex environment in which passengers will engage, but also in which operators and transport providers will have to sort of tailor their systems variably to different local work. So that's one of our priorities, to try to make that slightly more streamlined across the north of England. So multi-operator ticketing from a governance perspective and a financial perspective is demystified. It's not quite as exciting as developing technological solutions, but it is really important behind the scenes to make sure those future developments are as easy to apply to our local market as possible. We're also in the process of developing a fares modelling tool, and I touched upon earlier around the importance of fares reform to some of these innovations and how we sort of catch up with changes in passenger behaviours post-pandemic. One of the things we're developing, and particularly from that local authority capacity point of view, is a tool that will enable authorities to work with their operators to develop viable fare structures for their local markets that reflect a sort of elasticities and demand models that are relevant to them in their local geographies, and then can feed into national programmes. So that'll start looking at how you develop a pay-as-you-go capping fare structure in a local authority level where there hasn't been one previously. We're then also really sort of going into the next financial year when we start developing sort of the 1, 2, 3, 4 year long programmes of work around this, getting the groundwork in place for that collaborative conduit role that we will have. So we've developed an implementation group, which is a on paper bit of governance, but it's effectively a collection of all of the industry experts and regional offices that are involved in this space that we've got as a vehicle that is formalised to exchange knowledge, to exchange best practice and start bringing various different resources that either we produce, other partners in the industry produce, to sort of alleviate the need for authorities to sort of guess about what they need to do in some of these areas. So we have published a few resources under that already. Some of them are quite technical. We've done a resource around technological interoperability for contactless bank cards, which unless you're in that space probably doesn't mean a lot, but it's a very powerful piece of research and a report for the industry, and it's being used by colleagues on rail and in bus around developing pay-as-you-go integrations. We've also done things around customer journey provision, auditing in some of our partners to see what some of those platforms look like and what recommendations come out of it and how we start steering that together. So I think immediately it's just getting that presence reaffirmed around what TFN is doing in this space, supporting our partners, creating that environment in which collaboration exists, but then also injecting targeted tools to make it easier for them to start making some of these changes as we flesh out the larger programme of work over the next 3 or 4 years to achieve those key deliverables and outcomes in the strategy.
You've touched on, Matt, there the funding around it and the resources. Now, local government is in a state where there's a lot of issues with funding. A lot of local councils are at risk of bankruptcy, etc. So this is a priority for us, and there's a lot of buy-in from our partners, the local authorities, etc. How do we get that joined up funding model that enables us to deliver this connected mobility strategy and enables every local authority in the north, regardless of their own individual challenges and needs, to truly deliver this integrated and connected mobility?
That's a really hugely important question, because particularly in this space, what we've seen historically is small pilots funded to an extent, but not a long-term strategy around how some of these outcomes are delivered. Now, the reason we've framed the strategy around effectively 30 clearly defined outcomes is they then translate quite neatly into developing a funding package to fund that outcome, rather than isolated or worst case scenario, having our authorities, particularly in the north of England, compete with each other for limited funds to effectively deliver the same outcome. So we end up with one authority that might have delivered it to a lesser extent than they might have wanted to, but other authorities haven't been able to deliver it at all. So the point that we would start to make is, don't fund an individual authority to deliver an outcome on their sort of local level. Let's fund where there's three or four authorities that share the same outcome. Strategically, we'll go back to government and say, well, it's in the best interest of the taxpayer and for the region for that outcome to be funded across multiple authorities. One of those might be the lead authority. And if we've got in the north of England members who have been doing really strong work, the logic would be that that authority is funded and we have a framework in which they partner with three or four similar authorities to deliver that outcome. Now, one of the immediate things under the strategy is to start developing the case for this regional innovation fund structured around those thematic outcomes within the strategy, to go back to government to say we can get quicker results, better value for money, and less of a drain on His Majesty's Treasury by funding these outcomes, rather than chipping away at them by funding small local attempts at them. It gives a more strategic approach to it. So we are working on developing that funding model at the moment, and obviously there's a lot of questions at the minute around what the long-term funding approach is for some of these schemes across transport as a whole. So there is an opportunity for us to start really making that case quite loudly to government, and in partnership with our authorities across the north of England, where we've long said that those ambitions have been there, and have been there probably for the last 6 years. I've worked in integrated ticketing for over a decade now, and the conversations and the ambitions that exist currently aren't new. So we have a novel opportunity to start getting them done quicker by funding in a more efficient way.
Brilliant. Obviously, the key word that you've touched on in that response, Matt, is collaboration, that partnership, working with our local authorities and industry experts to really deliver a connected mobility that works for the whole of the north. And it's been great to hear the work that you're leading on at Transport for the North in enabling that change and building the evidence base that will allow all of our partners to really get to grips with this important area of work. So that draws to a close the podcast for today. I'd like to thank Matt for coming on and discussing the connected mobility work with me. If you want to learn more, please go to our website, which is www.transportforthenorth.com. where the Connected Mobility Strategy has been published, and you can read more in-depth knowledge about what we're up to in this and different areas as well. So what's left for me to say is thank you very much for listening today, and thank you, Matt, as well.
Thanks for listening to the Transport for the North podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe on Spotify and SoundCloud so you never miss an episode. You can find us on Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook for all our latest updates. And join us on our website, where you can find all the latest news and sign up to our All Points North newsletter.